Yeah. Welcome to Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs who are passionate about their business and have participated in our guest blog, shareyourstories.online. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Erica McKay, who is an interior designer and educator focused on creative, innovative workspace solutions for you and your business. She's also co-founder of Hamilton Fempreneurs, a community of women in business. Erica joins us today from Hamilton, Ontario. Hello.
Hi, welcome. Trish. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, I really love your story because, you know, it's all about creativity. I kind of feel that creativity opens the door to opportunities. So tell us a little bit about how you have incorporated innovative workspace solutions into businesses.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as interior designers, there's a number of reasons why a business might bring us on to help look at their space. But ultimately, our goal is to help a business get the most out of whatever space they're working with, whether it's small or huge, whether their staff are working from home right now and they're really rethinking things. We really want to help them, first of all, reflect their brand in whatever space they're working with, and ultimately figure out how to utilize that as a tool to attract and retain talent, to really reflect their culture and values, and to help them meet their goals as a business ultimately.
So one of the things that I know that you do is you try to incorporate wellness into the workplace environment. So let's use me as a test case. So, you know, I have a small office, I've got five people, we're doing all the social distancing, we're doing the rotating in terms of, you know, coming in at the right time and doing all of those things that we have to do right now. How would you incorporate other wellness aspects into my workplace?
Yeah, and first I will say that the wellness piece of things is interesting because it's become a huge trend in workspace design, as you know. But really, it's such a valuable lens through which to look at space with the intention of supporting your team. And again, because you're incorporating wellness, people are feeling better, they're more productive, they're more likely to stay or join your team in the first place, which is enormously advantageous for a business, of course. So that's really the reason for the wellness piece. But if you're an individual, like specific, you're looking for some specific things that you could be looking at?
Yeah, for sure.
So one of the most common complaints, I can tell you, in fact, this is the most common complaint that office workers have, is around acoustics. So we survey the staff in workspaces that we're designing, and there's been larger studies beyond us as well that have found the same thing. And so considering how a space is laid out, where people are going to be performing certain types of tasks, whether they're at their workstation all the time or they're moving around, just really thinking about how distracting some of those acoustic aspects can be from their neighboring coworkers or other outside noise. The other thing to look at is lighting. So people love being able to have access to natural light, even though we don't necessarily always know why. But most employees will say it's considered a huge advantage to be able to see out a window and have some natural light coming in. So that's a big one. There are ways to recreate some of those benefits with proper lighting if you don't have a window. But we really try to be strategic with space planning so that more, as many people as possible have access to the benefits of seeing nature, seeing natural light, and really having natural lighting for the tasks that they're doing. Those are the biggest ones, but there's so many. There's literally thousands of things that we can look at incorporating for that purpose.
Now, I know that you've made a huge investment into educating yourself and your team on the whole wellness piece, and you've just become well certified. So for those folks, like, I'm a business owner and I had never heard of such a thing before. So tell me how that would be advantageous to engage you and your team in my environment when you've got this wonderful new certification.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the WELL certification is really a framework from which to look at the space and essentially evaluate opportunities for incorporating wellness in a meaningful way for the benefit of the occupants, essentially. WELL itself as a certification actually came out of a sustainability environmental certification that's been around a lot longer called LEED. More of your viewers might have heard of LEED. And the people who were working with LEED recognized that so many of the things that were good for the environment were also really good for people. And there was an opportunity to further elaborate on those elements and add more features that addressed mental health, that addressed more organizational operations. So it really, as much as it's focuses on the space, it really talks about so much more than the space. And there's a lot of policy aspects that go into it and so forth. So, yeah.
I would assume processes too, right? Because I know that you and I were talking off camera because I just completed improving your workplace through a culture of health and got a recent certificate in that as well. So, you know, one of the things that I find really interesting is, okay, so I have an office environment, part of my team is working there and part of my team is working from home. And, you know, we all know that the dining room table will only last for so long as an office. So, what kind of advice can you give to a business owner who's got this sort of division of, you know, folks who are doing tasks on site and then from home? What types of tips can you give to somebody who has a home office environment and is really trying to retrofit their dining room table, as an example, for a temporary office?
Yeah, for sure. I think looking at frameworks of wellness and how to incorporate natural light and even just things that make you happy, you know, a plant, a picture of your family, like just making it feel like it's more of an intentional space wherever it may be, whether it's tucked into a corner of a guest room or at your dining room, those sort of small aspects do make a big difference in making us feel more comfortable working somewhere. The other one that's really, really important and often forgotten is ergonomics. So it's the idea of considering how your body is actually positioned at whatever workstation you're occupying and looking at, you know, is your screen at closest possible to eye level? Are your arms and knees able to be around 90 degrees? I work on a laptop. I'm at my office now, but at home as well. And I will prop it up on a yoga block just to get closer to eye level. Making sure you have a mouse and a keyboard separate, things like that really do go a long way to helping you stay comfortable and productive.
You know, that's a really good point because as a certified personal trainer, when I start working with entrepreneurs such as yourself, one of the things that I do is go to their office and say, you know, okay, flip up the laptop or, you know, send an email and let's have a look at the way that you sit at your desk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to your point, something really simple like tweaking the level of the laptop can make such a huge difference to how you feel at the end of the day or your productivity or that little lull that we sometimes get at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? When we're looking for, you know, a change of environment just so that we can get away from the screen for a little while.
Absolutely. And being able to move through the day is a big one too. And people often forget how much that if you're working from home on a laptop, it actually is pretty easy to move around through the day.
Right. Right.
I'll sometimes even just shift over and stand at the kitchen island because that's fairly comfortable standing height for me. Yep. Even for half an hour while you're checking some emails or something, right. It's really good for our bodies to move and change positions throughout the day.
Well, especially when they say that sitting is the new smoking, right? So we spend far too much time sitting at a screen and we don't spend enough time just taking that few minutes every hour just to give our bodies a bit of a break and to kind of reconnect with our environment even so that we become more productive in the afternoon.
Definitely. And as a bonus to that, every hour you spend standing instead of sitting, even if you're not moving, burns 50 more calories than if you were sitting.
All right. Well, I love that.
So that's kind of a plus. Burn off that afternoon latte.
Yes, exactly. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to just spend a little bit of time giving us an overview of why you became the co-founder of Hamilton Fempreneurs. Because the last time I checked, there's over 5,000 people that are now part of the Facebook group. So that's quite an accomplishment because, you know, none of us ever meet would be able to do a one-to-one with 5,000 people. But having a wonderful online community is really a testament to how you feel about making connections, business connections in the various different communities in which we work. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to launch that initiative.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a multitude of people that came together to make that happen. There were specifically three of us, three other women who were working out of a co-working space at the time. And I think we were all very much like-minded in understanding that making connections and being part of a larger business community really is critical for any business owner, really, mm-hmm. that wants to grow, especially. And so we had started hosting meetings at this co-working space every month. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary, actually.
Wow.
And so we were hosting monthly meetings and then we decided to open it up to the public and it kept growing. We started this Facebook page, and, you know, not to say there wasn't a lot of work that went into it. There has been, for sure, to get speakers lined up every month and so forth, and to manage this Facebook group. But it's grown very organically, like almost despite itself, because I think there is a need and there really is a desire amongst women to support each other. And that's really what happens. I know you're part of the groups, so you see this, but it's amazing to me what actually goes on this page. People are posting with legitimate concerns and questions and problems and opportunities sometimes too, and looking for advice and feedback and the support of the greater business community and other women in the area. So it's pretty interesting to see.
It is very, very much so. And kudos to you and the other gals who sort of put it all together, because you're right. You know, sometimes these passion projects that we start, and Share Your Stories is a wonderful example.
Yeah.
You know, we have a passion project and then the next thing you know, it starts to morph into so many other things. So congratulations to you and your partners on that.
Thank you.
Now, at the end of every guest blog, we ask folks to share their three words of advice. And I'm going to mention what your three words are. And I'd like you to tell the viewing and listening audience why these are important to you. So your three words are passion, innovation, and impact.
Yeah. So I said passion, and I think that maybe is a bit of a word that gets thrown around a lot and can have a lot of meaning. But for me, it was about finding something that I'm going to do with my life that I really care about and I love. We spend so much of our lives working, especially as entrepreneurs. And if you're not doing something that you're passionate about, that you care about, serving clients that you care about, what's the point?
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to for me. I mean, I recognize that that design is in my blood. Like, I've always been interested in this, and it's morphed over the years to what exactly that means and who our target clients are going to be. But I care about space and I care about people, and I believe that there's an opportunity to use space to help people. Innovation is really how I see growth. You know, I think as people, if we're not growing and improving, and we're you're really getting worse. Like, you can't just kind of stay as things are. Things always are changing. So having a mindset of growth and a mindset of innovation, I'm very much see myself as a lifelong learner. I teach part-time as well in post-secondary. I have for 11 years, and I always see myself as being the type of person to need to keep learning in order to grow. So that's kind of the way innovation translates for me. And then the impact piece is the why behind all of it. Like, great, you're passionate about this and you care about whatever profession you're in and you want to get better at it. But the why is really the important part. So who is it impacting? You know, are you doing this for your family? Sure, probably to some degree. But who are your customers? Why do you care about helping them? And what impact does this have on the greater community and the world as a whole?
Well, listen, Erica, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me today, because, you know, there's a reason why we've connected. We do have a lot of like-minded things in common. And to our viewing and listening audience, I hope that you've enjoyed this introduction to the person behind the logo in this edition of Keeping It Real. Thanks very much, Erica.
Thank you, Trish.